Amen. You say, well, why all this on Memorial Day? Well, all gave some, and some gave all. And I personally think, and I, you know, when I came here, I was scratching my head because I'm thinking, why is it that the folks here don't do more for patriotism? And I thought, well, they're the patriots. They're the ones who are actually doing it. It's their job. And so they see it every day. But being one who's never been in the military, I feel obligated to say thank you for your service. Because the thing about it is, whether you died in action or you were one who lived, you know, you were willing to pay the price for our freedom. So I just feel like we're obligated to do that. It's important. Now, I want to show you one picture that it really moved me. It may not move you, but this is an actual picture. Is it up there? Yeah. This is a real picture of an eagle perched at Fort Snelling Cemetery in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Let me tell you the story of it real quick. I've never seen a picture like that. Maybe you're familiar with it. But this was a photographer who actually was, he liked taking pictures of cemeteries, national cemeteries. And so this is a big, big cemetery, just like Arlington, or they're all, you know, those who paid the ultimate price for our freedom. But you think about that eagle, the symbol of our freedom, perched on a gravestone. Why that gravestone was the question. Well, believe it or not, this was on the gravestone of Sergeant Maurice Ruck. He and his wife loved eagles, and they loved taking pictures of eagles, and they had many. And so when the wife saw this picture, this was on the news, it brought great comfort to her. Isn't that amazing how God, do you believe God did that? So you're looking at an act of God in that, the way I look at it, the eagle created by God, resting, perching on a gravestone, giving comfort to a wife. You know, that touched me. It says a lot about our nation, and it's a symbol of our freedom and our patriotism. I just thought I'd share that with you. Is that all right? All right. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're talking about our identification in Christ. And yes, this will be in Christ as we talk about the soldier's ID. The soldier's ID. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll read verses 3 and 4. And then we'll read in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy 2 verses as well, 7 and 8. All right? Let's stand. All right? Everyone stand. And I'll turn this thing on. The media is telling me to turn it on, and Brother Bill has brought water and said he didn't want to hear a dry sermon, so he wanted me to stay wet. All right, we believe in water by immersion here, but anyway, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness, and somehow when I'd been studying this, and the Holy Spirit, I don't know what I'm supposed to all say, but I'm depending on the Holy Spirit. When I got up this morning, I had my prayer time, God was saying, deal with endure hardness. So I'm going to deal with endure hardness. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier, Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Then just turn over to chapter 4. Turn over one page, usually. Chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. I have fought a good fight. This is the Apostle Paul. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. Now we ask you to bless it to our hearing, that you'll speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, a sobering thought for me. I've never been in the military, don't know all the meaning. Certainly don't know how to tell you the time in military. Don't know much of anything. I'm learning a lot being around
soldiers. But you might have to help me on this. But the soldier is identified, especially if his life is taken, with dog tags. And I take it the dog tags are still used today. It's the soldier's ID. The name is on it, the religion, and the blood type, I believe. I think I'm right. But anyway, I think, are there two of them? Right, okay. One to stay on the soldier, and where does the other one go? Boots. Okay, all right. So there's, you know, you think about a soldier's ID, and when you think about that, you know, my first thought is this, that soldier, I got to looking at that word soldier, is sold out. He's willing to give his life for his country. You know, to me, that says volumes. And I got to thinking about it. How many Christians are like that? When you became a Christian, I mean, would you be more committed in a branch of service to a country and to the commander of chief than you would the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? You know, when it comes down to it, and that's what Paul is dealing with here, I want to use the soldier as a parallel, but certainly we are soldiers of the cross. We're soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, if there ever was a time we need to learn to stand, it's today. We really need to stand as true soldiers. This weekend we celebrate Memorial Day, a day first observed on May the 30th, 1868, to honor those who died in the Civil War. And now on Memorial Day, we honor the memories of all those who have died in the military in the service of the United States of America. As Paul neared the end of his life, he was in a Roman prison. No one, and I got to laughing when I got to thinking about this, no one could describe a soldier any better than the Apostle Paul. You know why? He was always chained to one. He was constantly in prison. He was constantly going through something difficult. He knew what it was like to endure hardness. And so I want to give you what I believe Paul gave us here in describing a soldier. He himself was changed to a Roman soldier. He knew the soldier's ID, but from the cell, the Apostle Paul took steps to ensure that he would be remembered as a good soldier himself of the cross. And he took the time to write to young Timothy here, one that he had mentored, to give him the soldier's ID so he too would be a good soldier. And by the way, if you're going to serve the Lord, it's not an easy thing. In fact, it's more difficult than ever because we're going against the grain of society. We're going against everything that seems like the world is standing for today. We are being called every kind of name, from bigot to judgmental, everything we're called today. It's time that we take a stand and recognize the fact that we're standing for the right cause. We're standing for Jesus Christ. I know this will go out on YouTube and everywhere, but you know, Muslims want to do away with Christianity. And that's the real war we're in today. And they'll use any tactic whatsoever. Terrorism is a cowardly way of fighting, if you ask me. They can't stand against the United States armed forces, so they use cowardly ways. That's exactly, I mean, look at 9/11. That's about as coward as you can get. You know, I've always been taught this. You want to fight? Let's step behind the barn and we'll take care of it. But no, these cowards don't fight that way. And that's where we are. We're dealing with a real enemy here. And we're dealing with an enemy, yes, on this earth. And we're dealing with a spiritual enemy called Satan, the devil. All right, number one, how do you identify a soldier? The soldier's ID. He is a follower. Look at verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as who? A good soldier of Jesus Christ. A good soldier is a follower. It implies here relationship. A soldier, he says, of Jesus Christ. The first step is for you to join the army. Amen? You can't serve the military unless you're drafted until you are joining the military. No one can be a soldier for the Lord until they first get in the army. Who is a good soldier? A soldier of Jesus Christ, not based on our goodness, but on His goodness. Amen? Think about this relationship. God's not about a religion. Religion is man looking for God. God is about Christianity, which is a relationship. That's what God wants. He don't want a religion. He wants a relationship. A soldier of Jesus Christ. He is our goodness because we don't have any. This is accomplished only through receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. And so I want to ask you again, are you in that kind of relationship? Jesus gave His all for you on the cross. And because He paid the ultimate price for your salvation, you who have received Him are joint heirs. Remind me, if I forget, to talk about the dog tags again, because I want to come back to that at the end of this sermon. So somebody say dog tags at the end of the sermon, all right? He's a follower. It implies a relationship. It also implies a rank. There's always someone higher than you. The same is true in the Lord's army. Every child of God is under ranked, under Jesus. He is responsible and is responsible for following Him. In other words, we're to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. God is our Father, and we're to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in all that we do. God has a way of cutting us down to size. He knows those who will serve Him and who will not. Listen to me carefully. I believe we're living in that day. We're living in a time of testing right now. I believe those who are going to be true followers of Jesus, those who will deny themselves and take up the cross daily, are being accounted for right now. Let me tell you something, folks. Persecution is a real deal in our world among Christians. There are Christians, and many, many right here recorded in the Scripture, who gave their life for us. Yes, they did. Listen, how many of these who were willing to stand until death so that you and I would be able to hear this gospel today? That's exactly what they did. Many martyrs, many people who were willing to pay the price. I wonder how many there are today. If someone came in here right now with a gun and said, I'm going to shoot every one of you who claim to be a Christian, how many of you would stand as a Christian? Wow, I didn't expect anybody to raise your hand, but I'm proud that you did. You know what? The Apostle Paul had that attitude. They said, we're going to kill you, Paul. He said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, how many of us would take that kind of stand? Because you see, this is the way Paul looked at it. It's the way we should look at it. Sudden death, sudden glory. You know what? I know where I'm going. Amen. And I'd rather die for Jesus than live for the devil any day. Amen. I had. I mean, it's easy to live for the devil. Anybody can live for the devil and like the devil. It's easy to do the things of the world. But we do have a responsibility because we who name the name of Jesus Christ have made up our mind that we have a King, and He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And I'm going to tell you this. Look up here, folks. You're going to be proud. You're going to be mighty proud. For how long? For all eternity. That you allow Jesus Christ to be your Lord. Amen. That you are His child. You are His servant. And then it implies rule. You see, I've been talking about our identity. And that identity, where I'm going with this, we're going to continue. We're going to eventually talk about kingdom authority. And kingdom authority is recognizing that Jesus Christ is your authority, and He's allowed to rule and reign. So I'm going to talk about rule. To refuse to follow orders in the military is treason. Am I right? Got a lot of AWOL Christians today, too. Amen? I'm telling you, we got a lot of Christians today. They used to serve the Lord, but they don't serve Him anymore. They've gone AWOL. When we are in the Lord's army, we have the obligation of obeying His orders, even unto death. Notice the call of Christ that has not changed. If any man come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. I'm going to tell you, I think right here, maybe, because I didn't really have it in any notes, but I heard the Holy Spirit speak to my heart this morning. Maybe right here I need to talk about enduring hardness, because I'm going to tell you something. It's a dangerous thing for us to do anything else. Did you hear me? It's dangerous to say, I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and then turn your back on Him. That's a dangerous thing to do. Are y'all listening to me this morning? I'm going to tell you something. It's so dangerous that you and I don't think about it this way, but it's so easy for us to think, well, God will understand. Look up here, folks. God's not going to understand. He's not. He paid too dear a price for your salvation. He called you to be His disciple, His follower. And Paul is saying to young Timothy here, he said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means you will suffer for Christ's sake. You will have hard times. I'm going to tell you, you have no idea some of the hard things I've been through. I mean, I've seen a little bit of everything in the Lord's army. Now, I get a little, I laugh at myself all the time. When I first came here, I was at Lowe's in Fayetteville. And they said, are you military? And I thought, what's fixing to happen here? Well, they were talking about giving me a 10% discount. I thought, well, I'd like a 10% discount. I said, well, I'm in the Lord's army. They said it don't count. I'm telling you something. I think it does count. I do. Now, I'm not going to get the 10% because I've never served in the military. But I will tell you this. I've given my 10% to the Lord, and I've served Him all these years. I think my retirement plan's out of this world. I really think it's going to add up, and it adds up when you and I learn to do this. Follow the ruler. Follow the one who gives the rules. And by the way, if you don't follow it in military, you're going to get yourself in a lot of trouble, aren't you? You know, we've got a guy in our church. I was with him Thursday, Jeff Bailey. He's an inspector general. I went to his office. I found out something. That guy's got some, I might get myself a pass where I won't have to get one every time I go to the base. See, he said, I might be able to take care of that for you. You know what? It's all in who you know. It's like heaven. It's who you know that gets you in, right? And so you got to know the right people in the military. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you know Jesus and He rules and reigns in your life, and notice I put that in there. Are y'all listening today? Because if He's not ruling and reigning in your life, He can't do you any good. Hello? I mean, you say, well, I know Jesus and I'm following Him. I'm sorry. Unless you're following Him in obedience, amen, how's He going to bless you? Amen. Because, see, the Bible says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is a sin. We think somehow that, well, I'm following Jesus. I'm one of His followers. But you let the first hard time come. I've seen people. Oh, I've seen it. I don't know what it is. This has been a pet peeve all my life as a pastor. It's like I'm pastoring a country club sometimes. I've thought this for many years. Because when hard times come, people leave. When hard times come, I mean, the least little thing can happen. Someone says something. Someone does something. Things don't work the way they want. They go AWOL. They quit. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. I've come too far to turn back now. It's a dangerous thing to go back where God has brought you from. It's a dangerous thing. And you will have to stand before a holy God and give an account for that. So if you're going to follow Jesus, follow Him with all your heart. If you're going to follow the devil, follow Him with all your heart. I'm preaching right today because God says anything lukewarm makes me sick to my stomach. He said either be hot or be cold. You say, preacher, that's a mean preaching. Well, that's what Jesus said. Either you follow me wholeheartedly or not at all. I think that's why we've got so many Christians miserable today. They got one foot in the world. They got one foot in the church. And they think they can have it both ways. You know why you're miserable? Because you got one foot in the world, one foot in the church. Decide today who you're going to follow. And if you're going to follow Jesus, as Joshua of old said, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. By the way, he was a strong soldier. And he said, I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus. All right, second of all, the soldier's idea is that he is faithful. He is faithful. Goes right along with what I'm saying. Having finished my course, he said, I kept the faith. faithful unto what? Unto death. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Now, how can we see this? Number one, his patience. Look at verse 4 of chapter 2. First part, no man that warreth. Let's talk about that. He's saying endure hardness, don't become a quitter. The good soldier realizes that there will be trouble along the life's way, and it's not, it's Jesus said these things will come to pass, not if, they will. It's not detoured by them. He understands that pain is often a part of being a soldier. It's not easy. The reason I had family stand today, I've realized in coming here just in 3.5 years, I did not know this, that families pay a dear price for having a soldier deployed. I mean, I didn't know this. I was sitting in a lawyer's office in Fayetteville, and we were talking about the church constitution, and he says, well, my main business is divorce because that's the demand in Fayetteville. You know why? It strains a marriage. It causes a lot of problems in homes, and we need some people to be patient. By the way, if you married the person you're married, I don't care if they're deployed or where they are, you stay faithful to that person. Are you listening? I didn't get many amens. Amen. But everybody should have said amen at that point. Stay faithful where you are. You say, well, he's deployed. I can play. Oh, and you will pay. You know what? It's serious. Especially, I think, in the military. But all of us. As Christians, that we're to be found faithful. I'm talking about faithful in everything. Yes, number one, faithful to God, but faithful to our husband, faithful to our wife. I had no idea I was going to be saying this. Faithful to our kids. You know why children today are the way they are? It's because a lot of parents don't take the time to parent them. It takes time to parent a child. You got to spend time with them. It takes a lot of patience to raise children. I'm sure I get a lot of amens there. I mean, it's tough. It's a lot of work. A good soldier understands what kind of war he is in. And please remember, the Christian is called upon to face extreme things that will try your patience. I mean, it's hard being a Christian. I mean, it's easy when someone treats you wrong that you don't treat them wrong, right? It's just revenge. You know, hey, I have to remind myself this quite often. Revenge is not mine, it's the Lord's. And he will repay. So don't you take matters in your hand. Someone treats you wrong, don't treat them wrong, because then you're no better than they are, right? Be patient. It's hard. By the way, my wife's got her head down the whole time because she's praying, Lord, help him to be patient. Because that's an area that I need help with. But I want to be faithful, and I want to be patient. At least she knows I want to. He's still working on me. However, I won't get into it. When we get in line, I always get the shortest one. All right, his priorities. He is faithful. His priorities. He will not entangle himself with the affairs of this life. A good soldier knows what hill he needs to fight on. He knows what hill to die on. He keeps his priorities straight. Don't waste your time with the negatives of life. By the way, if you're in a battle, you don't have time to worry about a lot of things, do you? You got to keep your focus. And one thing I preached the other Sunday was this. We need to be faith-focused and flexible as a church. Faith-focused and flexible. And by the way, if you're in the military, I think you got to do that a lot. I mean, you know, they tell you, talking about patience, hurry up and wait. And then you get there, and I guess you got to wait some more. But anyway, when you know what your priorities are, what is my purpose? I'm going to tell you what your purpose is today, to glorify God. That should be your priority for living. And if your priorities are anything else, look up here. You have your priorities out of order. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. We worry about all these other things. How we're going to pay for our kids to go to college. How we're going to do this. How we're going to do that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, his promises, all these other things will be added unto you. We just need to keep our eyes on the prize, recognizing the fact that God's got this. And if we will keep the proper priorities, I see a lot of things. I see a lot of things that disturb me. When ball games are more important than Sunday morning worship. When tithing goes to pay for a vacation. You know when our church giving goes way down? The summer. You know why? You say, well, preacher, that's because people are here. Oh, no. I've seen the time when people were still there, but they had other they felt like they had other things. I'm going to tell you something, folks. The day that you don't put God first, you're giving God permission to take his hand off of you. I mean, really. That's what God's done in America. I'll go ahead and tell you like it T.I. is. Why did 9/11 happen? I'll tell you why. Because we got our priorities wrong in America. We've said, God, we're going to take you out of our schools. We're going to take you out of our government. We're just going to take you out. And God says, okay, I'm a gentleman. I'll go over and bless another nation. Blessed be the nation. What's the rest of that verse? Whose God is the Lord. That's in Psalm. Blessed. God will bless the nation of the God, of the one who is the true living God. Not Allah, not Muhammad, but the God, I like to call him this, of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Jehovah, Elohim, Yahweh. I'm here to tell you, friend, there is only one true living God, and we better get our priorities in order because he is the commander of chief. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords, and we best follow him. Boy, I didn't know I was going to get into all that. And then his purpose. What is the soldier's purpose? I've already got into this and didn't mean to. That he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. He seeks to please the commander. He seeks to please the one in charge, his superior officer. And who is that but the Lord Jesus Christ? Folks, our call, listen to me clearly, we are called to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we're called to. I'm not here today because of Gord Springs. You're not here today because of Gord Springs Baptist Church. We're here because of Jesus. He's our superior. He is the one we're to worship for and worship to. I'm going to preach this probably in a few weeks, but I'll go ahead and let the cat out of the bag. I'm telling you, the one you worship says everything about who you are. It really is. I mean, there are people that worship rock stars, and they worship celebrities, and they worship. The kind of person you worship actually controls your life, and you want to worship this Savior. You do. Much like his angels. Think about it. Now, what did the angels do? They are worship leaders. Angels are worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ all the time. So if we're worshiping him, guess what God's going to do? He's going to send his angels because we're doing what the angels do. And what are the angels doing all the time? They're crying, holy, holy, holy. If we're at church this morning and we're crying, holy, 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 friend, I wouldn't be surprised whatsoever if we could just see how many heavenly beings are here helping us worship God this morning. And by the way, I'd rather have an army of angels around me going out there in this lost and dying world than have the whole United States Army around me. I really had, because I'm going to tell you something. They'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's the Savior we serve. Our purpose is to glorify him. Our purpose is to worship him. Your purpose is to make sure that you follow him and you stay faithful to him. And then third of all, he's a fighter. And by the way, that's what we need today in the church. We need some fighters. I'm talking about the right kind of fighter now, because I'm going to tell you, the devil's our enemy. And he's seeking to be made a devourer. Look at verse 7 for a moment. Paul makes three statements in this verse that describes the fighting soldier. Number one, he's determined. Look at verse 7. I have fought a good fight. The good soldier does not retreat in the face of the enemy. He does not run from a fight. Instead, he stands his ground and he fights the enemy until the battle is over. Many Christian soldiers have dropped out of the battle. I challenge you never to be among that number. It's easy to quit. It's easy to go AWOL. It's a crime in the army. It's a sin in God's eyes. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Folks, we've got to make up our mind today that we're going to stand regardless of what happens. And folks, let me tell you something. Whether you believe it or not, I believe that we're living in the very last days. And where we stand now says everything about where we will stand for all eternity. We need to be determined. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. You remember that song? I've decided, no, though none go with me, I'm still going to stand as a true soldier and fight this fight. You'll be glad you did. Aren't you glad that Jesus fought the fight and he won. I mean, he won the victory at the cross over sin, death, the grave, over the devil. And because he is our victor, we have the victory. Hello? And the way you and I've got to get this thing in our heart is that we're determined never to leave, never to retrieve, never to give up, never to stop. I'm going to say it again. I think I've come too far to quit. How about you? Amen. By the way, we're closer than ever before. I'm going to say that again. Let me just take a minute here and tell you about what Paul had in mind. He wrote this in Ephesians chapter 6. He talked about the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate was made of metal plates covering the body from the neck to the waist, from front and back. And the soldier's ID is the righteousness of Christ. That's what the breastplate. In fact, I was going to pass this thing around. This got circulated through our church. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to take it and Gordy grab it. Oh, I knew. Gordy just passed it around. That's something that a number of our guys have in their pocket. It's a little piece of metal that reminds us of the armor of the believer. And so it has on there the breastplate of righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. I got to move quickly. The helmet of our salvation. The enemy will attack the mind. Are y'all listening to me this morning? The helmet refers to the mind controlled by God. Many Christians have the idea that the intellect is not important, when in reality, it's vital. It's a vital role in spiritual growth and in service and victory. We must fit every Christian with the helmet of salvation, or the enemy will brainwash us. This is called discipleship. It's when you and I are a people. We are a student of God's word. We know how to stand when the enemy comes. How did Jesus stand against the devil? But he quoted scripture. You know, when we were having revival, I'm not going to call no name, and I don't even remember the names. But from the youngest to the oldest, I just casually begin to ask people, how's your Bible study? How's your Bible reading? And I don't know if I just got with the wrong people or what, but not one person could tell me that they read their Bible every day. That's in our church. I did not talk to one person who said, I read it every day, preacher. At least we got some honest people. They said, I don't read it every day. Well, let me ask you something. You realize that you've opened your mind to the enemy. You have. And no wonder the devil is lying to us so much, because he's a liar and the father of lies. And if you listen to enough lies, you'll live a lie. We need to be smart. We do. We need to be smart when it comes to God and his word. I'm going to ask you to read your Bible every day. I'm going to tell you, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against God. We're talking about being determined. The shield of faith was a 4x2 made of wood and covered with tough leather. The edges of the shield, you may not know this, were constructed in such a way that an entire line of soldiers could interlock shields and march toward the enemy like a solid wall. I tell you, I think that just says everything about we Christians. We ought to work together. We ought to love together. We ought to work together. We must love one another so we can interlock and stand against the devil. Our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. And then the belt of truth. Yeah, I've already mentioned Satan's a liar, but the Christian soldier is controlled by truth that will defeat the devil. The belt holds the other parts of the armor together, and truth is the integrating force in the life of the victorious Christian. What is truth? God is truth. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. You need to understand that we need these parts of the armor. We need to put on the whole armor of God. He's determined. He is driven. He says, I finished my course in verse 7. The good soldier realizes that the battle does not run according to his time frame. I talked about the rope last week. And I'm going to tell you, when God works, he works in eternity, not in our little time frame, but in all eternity, God is at work. The good soldier is in the battle to the finish. Are you? Are you? Are you driven? I'm going to tell you, there's a reason the scripture says, only a few there be which go in thereat. Because I'm going to tell you, the Bible says, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. We got to finish well, church. We need to finish well. What drives you? What motivates you? Is it sports? Is that what excites you? Is it making money? Is that what drives you? What is it that drives you? I'll tell you the truth today. If it's anything else than the Lord Jesus Christ, then that's your idol. Money is your God. If that's what drives you. Am I right? It's getting quiet in here. And sports. If sports is what motivates you and drives you, there's nothing wrong with sports. There's nothing wrong with money. No, it's the love of money is the root of all evil. But the problem is we let these things become more important to us than God. What is it that drives you? Many Christians are about one disaster and one service away from quitting on the Lord. Does that describe you? I challenge you to keep serving and keep fighting. God will not bless a quitter. Quitters never get anywhere in the Lord's army, but they'll end up in circles. They quit one ministry just to join another, only to quit that ministry, and eventually they quit altogether. God will not bless quitters. And then he's dedicated. He says, I've kept the faith. The good soldier in verse 7 dedicates himself in keeping his oath. He determined to live for the Lord regardless of the personal cost. The good soldier keeps the faith. Do you? He keeps it by living, sharing, and depending on it all the time. The faith is precious to the good soldier. He does everything in his power to keep his faith pure and undefiled. And last, and I'm done, the soldier's ID is that he's a finisher. I love what Paul said here. It's very encouraging. He says, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but also to them that love his appearing. He had a resolve. There is laid up for me. The good soldier is in it for the long haul, and he won't quit. And he knows that if he finishes well, that it's going to pay off. God gives us Christians with the attitude to finish. We must finish well. Second of all, he has a reason, a crown of righteousness. Why does the good soldier endure hardness, stay in the fight, and follow the leader selflessly? The good soldier knows the price that was paid by his superior to make a place for him in the army. And the good soldier knows the Lord loves him and that Jesus died to make a way of salvation for him. Therefore, he loves the Lord, and no price becomes too high for the good soldier to pay. Because you see, the reason is the crown of righteousness. We don't work for righteousness, and we have none of our own, but our righteousness is in Christ. It's because what Jesus has done, and in Christ alone do we stand. And then he has a reward, which the Lord, the righteous judge, he says, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but all them that love his appearing. The good soldier finishes his course because he knows at the end of the war, every deed will be rewarded by the commander in chief. And he knows to stay in the battle, there will come a day of blessing. I think about, in closing today, how God has blessed our nation. He has blessed us so much that we've become a bunch of spoiled people. And I'm afraid that what God's going to end up doing, he's going to be drawing us back to him through some hardship and some difficulty. I think those things are right around the corner. So I'm going to ask you today, before we leave here, will you examine your heart? Henry Barsby tells of a conversation overheard in a dugout full of wounded men during the First World War. This is a true story. You can Google it. One of the men had been terribly wounded. He knew he had only moments to live. He had a friend with him, one who had already seen a bad start to a bad life. He'd made a lot of wrong decisions. He'd already served some time in prison. In fact, he was wanted back home by the authorities again. The wounded man, the dying man, pulls the wounded man down close to his face, and this is what he says. He said, take my dog tags, his ID chain. And he presses it in the hand of his buddy. Listen, you've had a bad life, he said. Everywhere you were wanted by the authorities. But there are no convictions against me. My name is clean. So here, take my dog tags, take my wallet, take my papers, my identity, my good name. my life and quickly hand me your papers that I may carry all your crimes away with me in death. And the man died. I read that story and I began to think, isn't that what Jesus did? I mean, think about it. We broke all the laws. I mean, the Bible says if you've broken one commandment, you're guilty of them all. We've broken all the laws. We've broken the rules. And we have nothing to offer God. We are all sinners. But here comes Jesus, a man without any sin, a man with a clean name, a clean slate before a holy God. And he goes to an old rugged cross and he pays our sin debt. And it's that cross, really, y'all listening to me? That's like the dog tag. Because if you'll come to that cross where he died, you know what Jesus says? I'll give you my identity. Now think about the power of that. Because once you become a child of God, we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And whether you understand this or not, Christian friend, everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to you now. So you were the dirty, rotten thief that could live on. Jesus died. He died on that cross for a debt that you could not pay. You wicked, filthy, dirty sinner, you. But you get to go free now. Because Jesus said, you give me all your wrong, and I'll give you all my right. I believe I'll have a spell right now. And then, he didn't stay dead. He got up on the third day, and what was the power of that? So he could really change your life. And you're going to sit there today like a knot on a log. You're going to sit there today and say, well, I will not be moved. Then I will tell you, that you've made your mind up to bust hell wide open. That's your decision. But I'm going to tell you, there's not a person here today that Jesus didn't love. He loves every one of you. And it's up to you to make this choice. I can't think of a greater day than to come to the one who paid the ultimate price for our freedom. Jesus paid it all. There's a song that when Hank was with us, Hank Parker, He heard Michelle Mabry sing, and he said, you know, I want you to sing this song. You don't have to sing it so that I can hear it. I want you to sing it so your church can hear it. He's all I need. And I'm here to tell you, I don't know what's going on in your life. Look up here. We're about to give an invitation. Whatever's going on in your life, and you may think that there's a lot of different things that you need in your life. I want to tell you something. Jesus said it on the cross best. It is finished. He did everything that is needed for your salvation. You don't need to go out here and try to earn it, work for it, for by grace you're saved. I'm going to say this to you. I want to say it extra clear. If you're truly a child of God, then I believe with all my heart you ought to be the best soldier you can be. I'm burdened in a lot of ways. I want to do what I do with excellence because I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It burdens me when I see a lot of Christians just like, they think this is a playground. I'll come and go as I please. I'll do as I please. I'll say what I please. This is not a playground. This is a battleground. And Satan is after the souls of men. And he'd love to suck you right down into his hell. And I'm here to tell you, there's one who wants to give you his dog tags today. I'm talking about our identity in Christ, okay? And it was at the cross Jesus paid. So he wants to take it off right now and put it on your neck. And when you take his identity, you are made perfectly right with a holy God because Jesus Christ paid it all on the cross. Let's pray. Michelle, you come. Father, you're here today. I feel your presence. I know, God, you're speaking to hearts right now. Even those of us who name your name as followers, that we will step it up, that we will endure hardness. I think it's time for soldiers of the cross to soldier on. We've got to fight this fight till it's finished. But there are many people on the battlefield that are lost, and they're dying and going to hell without Christ. Lord, help us to reach out to those people. There are people all around us. Satan is doing everything he can to rob people of their life when Jesus came to give us life. I pray at this invitation that someone will come down this aisle today and say, I'm tired of living for me. I want to live for Jesus. I want to identify as a soldier of the cross. In Jesus' name I pray this, because you're all we'll ever need for now and eternity. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We're just going to stand. I'm going to tell you, everybody stand. I'm going to ask you to do this today, because this is the kind of invitation that the Lord's leading me more and more to give in this church. Look up here. I'm going to ask no one leave right now, because something that's really concerning me at the invitation time is that we do nothing to distract the Spirit of God. The reason I've asked her to sing, I don't want you to sing a song you don't know. I want us to be able to focus on what God is speaking our hearts about right now. So the real question is not about the music or someone moving, but here's the question. What is it God wants me to do right now? Because God wants everybody to do something right now. You may walk by this table, I don't know, as an act of worship and say, God, thank you that someone was willing to stand in my place. But most of all, you might want to come to this altar and say, Lord, I want to just thank you. I remember the day you saved me. I remember what you've done for me. And if you don't know Jesus today, I can't think of a better day to trust him. Would you today be counted as a soldier of the cross? Listen to her sing, be in a spirit of prayer, and you just obey God as she leads us.
He's all I need when I just need someone to talk to. He's always there to hear my prayer each time I call him. All my needs, he supplies my thirsty soul. He satisfies. He's the Lord of Lords, and he's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary, and eases every pain, fills my deepest longing time and time again. He's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything, and he's all I need. He's all I need. I not need to turn to any other, for he's a friend I can depend, closer than a brother. On this friend I can rely to be my strength as life goes by. He of Lords, and he's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary, and eases every pain. calls my deepest longing time and time again. He's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything, he's all I need. He's all I need. When the doctors come in the room and shake their heads and say there's nothing else we can do, he's all I need. When the bank account's empty, he's all I need. When that job is gone, he's all I need. When my husband's deployed, he's all I need. When I'm on the battleground, he's all I need. When I'm alone in the dark, he's all I need. When that child I wanted died, he's all I need. When that child you love rebels, when you go to counselors and nothing can be fixed, he's all I need. When every friend lets you down, he's all I need. When my husband doesn't look at me the way that I look at him anymore, he's all I need. When the marriage is broken, he's all I need. When my parent dies, he's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. Yes, Lord. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need.
If we can go out of here today with just that one thought as our focus, as our priority, his promise is he'll be there through the rest of it. Put the main thing as the main thing. There are hurting people here today. I mean people carrying burdens. Look up here. Are you willing to leave it here? Jesus said, cast all your cares on me because I care for you. Can he handle that burden? You got a problem today? Anybody got a problem here today? I'm sure most everybody. Are you willing? We're fixing to leave. Are you willing to leave here with it, or you want to leave it here? He can handle it. Amen? The key is this. I believe this is the key. To trust him with it. Trust him. Trust him. He trusted you, didn't he? Does God trust you with his salvation? Are you going to be a good soldier? Are you going to be a good disciple in nurturing that relationship? Hello? You got to do it every day. Read your Bible. Pray every day. Keep God number one.